Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. There are five branches of irreligion, appropriately known as irreligion, vidharma, religious principles for which one is unfit, paradharma, pretentious religion, abhasa, analogical religion, upadharma, and cheating religion, chala dharma. One who is aware of real religious life must abandon these five as irreligious. So please repeat. There are five branches of irreligion. Properly known as irreligion, vidharma, religious principles for which one is unfit, paradharma, pretentious religion, abhasa, analogical religion, upadharma, and cheating religion, chala dharma. One who is aware of real religious life must abandon these five as irreligious. First, we have to know what they are before we can abandon them. Purport. Any religious principle opposed to the principle of surrendering to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, are to be considered religious principles of irregularity or cheating. One who is actually interested in religion must give them up. One should simply follow the instructions of Krishna and surrender unto Him. To do this, of course, one needs very good intelligence, which may be awakened after many, many births through good association with devotees and the practice of Krishna consciousness. Everything but the principal religion recommended by Krishna, Sarva Dharma Prajaja Mame Kam Sharanam Braja, should be given up as irreligion. So the text again. Vidharma Paradharmas Cha. Oh, everyone likes the verse. I'm just going to... Abhasa upama chala adhar... It's not really necessary. I'm just repeating it. Adharma shaka panchema dharma gyo dharma vatyajet. There are five branches of irreligion, appropriately known as irreligion, vidharma, religious principles for which one is unfit, paradharma, pretentious religion, abhasa, analogical religion, upadharma, and cheating religion, chaladharma. One who is aware of real religious life must abandon these five as irreligious. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristai Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatundeve Gauravani Vricharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskyatyade Satarane. In Srimad Bhagavatam Krishna, or Srimad Bhagavatam begins in the second verse, Dharmak Priyojita Kaitava Tra Paramo Nimatsaranam Siddham. That Dharma, that real religious Dharma comes from the understanding of what is the actual nature of the soul. Prabhupada gives the example that the nature of sugar is it supposed to be sweet? Similarly, the nature of salt, it has to be salty. If sugar is salty and salt is sweet, then somehow or another something is wrong. Sometimes that happens. In the pastimes of Prabhupada, in Los Angeles, when Prabhupada was taking Charanamrita, this is 1970, and he noticed it was salty. He said, who has done this? And one Mataji started to giggle, but Prabhupada was not very impressed. There were a number of things that went on which were out of order, but this was just another symptom that Prabhupada saw, that the consciousness of the devotees was inappropriate. So everything has its dharma, at what is actually supposed to be, Jivara Swarupahoy, Krishnara Nityadas, every living entity is supposed to be Krishna's eternal servant. And indeed, every living entity must serve Krishna in some capacity, but there is a appropriate or correct capacity, and then there is an inappropriate capacity called kaitava. Kaitava means cheating. That is, pretend that we're doing the right thing, we're actually doing the wrong thing. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, pravritim cha nivritim cha jana, pravritim cha nivritim cha karya karya bhaya bhaye bandha moksha chaya veti buddhi saparta sattvaki. Here Krishna ties together, well, in the next verse, he'll tie together dharma with buddhi. Unless we know what is dharma, how can we perform it? Unless we know what a dharma is, irreligion is, how will we know if we're engaged in it? That is what buddhi is meant for. Buddhi is not meant for technological development, building a bigger building, or fast a car, or a computer. That is buddhi, but that's not what buddhi is actually meant for. Real buddhi is meant for at least discriminating what is dharma and what is adharma. Adharma, ya dharmam, adharmam cha, karya, cha karya, eva cha, ayatava prajanati buddhisaparta tamasi. When one gets the wrong thing sometimes and the right thing sometimes, that's the mode of passion. And adharma dharma iti ya manyate tamasavritaha sarvatam viparitams cha buddhisaparta tamasi. One who thinks that irreligion is actually religion and religion is actually irreligion and always strives in the wrong direction is said to be have intelligence in the mode of ignorance. So that's generally the conception that most people have, is in ignorance. I gave the example before that in the Mardi Gras is a celebration in America where they have for 1 week a marathon of sinful activities. They try to see how many sinful activities someone can commit in 1 week. And of course, to encourage their sinful activities, they have loud music playing 7 days, 24 hours a day, 7 days for the whole thing. So the devotees, out of their compassion 1 year, they decided, let us go and try to help the conditioned souls. They went on a harinam. They got out of the van, they started to chant Hare Krishna. Immediately, the police came with vans, packed the devotees into the vans, arrested them, brought them to the police station, put them in jail, and charged them with disturbing the peace. We were interfering with people's sinful activities, which was considered to be, to them, irreligious. How dare we discourage them? How dare we even attempt to inject the holy name into such a wonderful atmosphere and pollute it with God consciousness. For instance, in Belgium, we were considered one of the, they had like 100-something dangerous cults and we were in the top 10. And they gave their reasons why the devotees and Belgium were considered to be one of the top dangerous cults. Number one, which is not as bad as the other, but we are vegetarians. Very dangerous. And number two is that we have the nerve to go on the street and chant God's names. Anyone who does that must be crazy and dangerous. As Kali Yuga goes on, people will make more and more, their intelligence will become more and more twisted, And what will be considered to be religious will be completely the opposite of religion. And what will be considered the normal thing that everyone's supposed to do, religiosity, will be completely opposite of what real religiosity is. What to speak of here when Krishna says, sarva dharma prajaja. That people can understand. Give up all varieties of religion. That they've already done. Or many people have done that. But if Krishna had stopped there, people would appreciate it. Sarva dharma prajaja. But then he says, mamekam sharanam raja. Take shelter of me alone. So people think, oh, Krishna is very bold. He thinks he's God. Of course, we all think we're God. The difference is he wrote a book where he explains he's God, and we're yet to write our book to explain how we're God. Or Krishna thinks he's God. He's on a typical ego trip like we are, but we can forgive him. Because ultimately, it's not Krishna who's speaking. It's the unborn within Krishna, the Brahman impersonal, which we're all Brahman, and therefore, ultimately, he can be forgiven, because what he's really saying is that we're all God. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the Brahmin's house accepting his invitation for lunch, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very humbly sat in the place where people normally washed their shoes. Not their shoes, their feet. Because in India they didn't have, you know, these sneakers and all, you know, Crocs and tongs and things. People walked barefoot. Of course, they also didn't have glass and paved roads and all kinds of other things. They had flowering trees that didn't necessarily have just thorns. And therefore, walking on the street was relatively more safe than it is now. You didn't step on glass. You didn't have to step on paved roads. The tar, feet didn't stick to the road when you were walking along. But they washed their feet when they came into someone's house. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after washing his feet, sat in that place, which was generally considered to be rather impure, unclean. The Mayavadi sannyasis who were there, headed by Prakashananda Saraswati, they thought this poor person must be depressed. Otherwise, why would he sit in such a place? When people get depressed, they're not even aware of what their surroundings are. They're just meant on the mental platform. So Prakashananda Saraswati thought, oh, Chaitanya, he's on the mental platform. He's depressed. But what they did notice that he had this effulgence which was greater than 10,000 suns. So they thought he's depressed, but at least he's realized he's God. So he's not so bad. He's realized he's Narayan. Not a big deal to realize that Narayan for a sannyasi, because Namo Narayana Namaha. Namo Narayana Namaha. That we're all Narayan. The sannyasis, after taking sannyas, they think the Mayavadi sannyasis, they've become Narayan. So this man, he's realized he's Narayan. He has an effulgence 10,000 times greater than that of the effulgence of the sun, but not a big deal, because soon we'll also have the same effulgence. Unfortunately, he's a little depressed for some reason. Dharidra Narayan has become depressed. Let us go and help him. So Prakashananda Saraswati offered his hand. Come, my dear sir, come, don't be so depressed. Come with us and think of Brahman. So this is also Kaitava, cheating religion. They don't know what is the purpose of religion. They think the purpose of religion is to become God. It's to realize that we're God. So this is also ignorance. Because when Krishna says, sarva dharma prajaja, mame kama sharanam raja, he's not saying to just surrender to some ordinary person. He also says, vedaham savatitani vartmanani cha arjuna, Pravishami tu bhutani mam tu vena nakaschana. As the Supreme Person, I know everything. Past, present, future. I know all of the entities. Unfortunately, covered by my illusory energy, naham prakasha sarvasha yogamaya samavrita. No one knows me because they're covered by illusion. Avaratnika shakti. One who's covered by illusion, he can't see things clearly, and therefore he thinks what is to be done is what actually shouldn't be done. And what he thinks shouldn't be done, that's actually what he's supposed to be doing, namely surrendering to Krishna. And everything else is supposed to help us come to that platform of becoming conscious of the super soul. Prabhupada in the second canto, second chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord in the Heart, he gives a systematic explanation how we can perceive the super soul within our heart. He said it's not difficult. If one bothers to listen, and that's the main problem, is we listen to our illusory mind. If one listens to reality, or the knowledge of reality, then it's not difficult to realize the super soul within the heart. You don't have to go into a cave, meditate for 20,000, 10,000 years, as Kardama Muni did. You can just listen to Bhagavatam for a few minutes and realize the super soul. Maybe not the fact that we'll suddenly see four arms pop up in the middle of our heart. But at least we'll realize or recognize the presence of Krishna within our heart. Prabhupada goes through a whole elaborate thing that this can be done by using our intelligence, buddhi. We can see the form direction of Krishna. Just like we see so many forms, we can see how these forms are being directed, including our own form. The first thing we have to realize is that there's something different than just the material body. There is a living force within the body known as the soul. That all the combinations and permutations of all this material energy, whether it be the earth or the water or the fire or the air or the ether, or even the combinations that it makes, the active senses, such as the perceiving senses, the ears, the sense of hearing, sense of sight, sense of touch, sense of smell, sense of taste, and the active senses, the hands, the legs, the anus, the genitals, the tongue, that these are just permutations, combinations of the material nature. But there is a perceiver of all this, and that's us. We certainly take ourselves for granted. So much so that we're not even aware of ourselves sometimes. The fact that we're the perceiver, we're the ones who are conscious. But what we're not conscious of is ourselves. We're conscious of everything outside of ourselves, whether in this body or outside of this body, just all combinations and permutations of gross and subtle material nature, but we're not aware of the person who's conscious of all these different things. Trust no future, so however pleasant, Prabhupada writes, that this idle talk about the future combination of matter into spirit is just so much speculation. Never, they talk, we almost have the ingredients, we've synthesized DNA or RNA, whatever, and we're just on the brink. Soon we'll create our first Frankenstein. And you can come and, you know, he'll just be the star of some Frankenstein movie. They claim like that, but they haven't even created one blade of grass. And even if they created a blade of grass, as I said yesterday in Soho Street, what is the credit? There's millions and trillions of blades of grass already. Why don't they give some credit to the person who created all these blades of grass? Why should they get credit for creating one blade of grass, spending so much money, when someone has already created so many blades of grass and they won't give him a penny? So this is called lack of intelligence, that they think that in the future, blank check, I have no money, but I'm going to write you a blank check for $1 million. You give me half of that in return, and in the future, 10 million years from now, you can cash the blank check for $1 million, or you can write in $1 million and you get your money. Now I get your 500,000. In the future, you get my million, but there's no saying when it's going to be. We spent all this money, the taxes, whatever it is, because we don't pay taxes. But other people, they pay taxes, spend so much hard-earned money, and what are they being promised? In the future, we'll create one blade of grass, give us all your money now, and we'll create a blade of grass. We don't know when, but in the future. And when you get the blade of grass, you can feed it to your cow. A $20 billion blade of grass. A cow will really appreciate it. It's because you love her. Now, this is all idle speculation. The fact is that everyone already is in distress because they don't have the free light and the spirit. Everyone feels confined by their present material circumstances, and they want to get out of this limitation. They want some direction. They don't want to be confined either in this body or some other body in the future. Now we're in some relatively undisturbed situation compared to other situations we hear about. But if there's a possibility by performing the wrong activities, we may be in a very unpleasant circumstance, then we want to avoid that. So that's called dharma. Whatever people conceive of dharma, probably gives the example in Sheffield. Have you ever been to Sheffield? He says that the miners there, they working underground, and their hot, lack of air, working hard during the day, breathing in all kinds of foul things. So one preacher goes there and tells them that you must surrender to Jesus Christ or else you're going to hell. So they never heard of Jesus Christ before. So they asked, what is his number? Because everyone at the mine has a number. So they're wondering, which is his number? They say, the preacher says, no, you don't understand. He's not one of the workers here. He's the Lord. And if you don't surrender to him, you'll go to hell. So they're interested. Well, what is hell like? Well, hell is very dark. The air is very bad. It's very hot there all the time. So they thought, oh, it's like our mind, not so bad. We're down here all the day. We kind of like it down here. So the preacher realized he's not getting very far. People are accustomed to this type of existence. So he pulls out his last resort and says, in hell there's no newspaper. And they go, oh, no newspaper. That's horrible. We must surrender to Jesus Christ. So everyone has their conception. What is restrictive? What is not restrictive? What is pleasant? What is unpleasant? But everyone wants to avoid what they think is dukkha, lack of space or bad space. Du means bad and ka means space. So unhappiness is when there is a lack of good space or a lack of space. We feel restricted, restrained. Like freedom, they always talk about freedom. Freedom to go out on Friday and Saturday and do whatever you like, that they think is freedom. And if they're restricted from doing it, then they think, oh, that's very painful. On the other hand, sukha means good space, freedom. But real freedom ultimately is the free light in the spirit, where we're able to move without any restriction like Narada Muni and do something which is positive for ourselves and everyone else. Then Prabhupada says that freedom could be obtained by the mercy of the super soul who is in everyone's heart. He can be perceived as the person who is giving us intelligence. Just like an ant crawling on the ground, looking for some Mangalarti sweets, Krishna is giving him the intelligence where to find them. We may be looking for them, but Krishna is giving him more intelligence for some reason. Looking for the sweets, and if we want to find the sweets, then follow the acharya, that ant, and he'll take us right to the sweets if they're hidden. Krishna is in every living entity's heart, giving everyone intelligence, sometimes equal intelligence if you're a member of the ant family. Generally, the ants get an equal amount of intelligence coming from Krishna. Where to find the sweet and get high, intoxicated, or low, however you want to look at it. And he's also giving us the same intelligence, but hopefully he's giving us more intelligence than just looking for Mangalarti sweets. Therefore, Krishna is perceived just like the father giving instructions to the son, or the teacher giving instructions to the student. That intelligence is all pervasive. It may be to different degrees, but every living entity is receiving some of it, from the amoeba, what to engulf, up to Brahma, how to manage the universe. Therefore, we should conclude that there are three different categories. There is matter, there is spirit, and then there is super spirit. Super spirit is all-pervading, just like we're aware of what's going on in our body, but that super spirit is aware of what's going on in everyone's body. Our free will, therefore, consists of either orientating our desires towards the ignorant misconception of misidentifying ourselves with our gross and subtle material bodies, or orientating our desires towards the true conception of becoming a servant of that supreme super soul who is situated within our heart and following his directions to get out of the bodily concept of life and ultimately into the spiritual awareness of our spiritual identity. But never we find that the soul and the super soul are on the same level, or the soul and matter, or the super soul and matter are all on the same level. So this is all explained very carefully in the Bhagavad Gita about matter, the soul, and the super soul. But the super soul can't be restricted just to supply intelligence to living entities to satisfy their desires. The super soul also exists, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, in the spiritual planet of Vaikuntha and Goloka Vrindavan, where he enjoys loving pastimes with his ever-liberated associates who aren't looking for different varieties of material experience, who are engaged in loving service to him. And as Prabhupada writes in this purport, that one who investigates to understand how to link up with that super soul on the spiritual platform, bonam janmanam ante gyanamamam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti saramahatma sudurlabha, that after many births of such investigation, one can realize how Krishna is actually all-pervading, and that all the energy is coming from him, and that he's reciprocating with our desires. If we want desire to become spiritually enlightened and enlivened, he'll give us that opportunity. And if we desire to seek after some variety of material experience, he'll also give us that opportunity also. All that variety of material experience fits under these five categories of irreligious activities. Just to briefly summarize what they are, of course, V-Dharma is that exactly the opposite of what real dharma is. Instead of surrendering to Krishna, one is simply absorbed in sense gratification, known as V-Karma. And the preaching of that is also V-Dharma. So that's practically the religion nowadays. Eat, sleep, and be merry. Somehow or another, get money, 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 sweeter than honey, and enjoy the senses. That is religion. There is no religion. People have actually abandoned all varieties of religion and simply engage in economic development for sense gratification. There is no understanding of how the world is actually working, or the purpose being liberation. The purpose is just to gratify the senses, as Krishna says, unto the end of life. And anything goes, you know, tie the rope to a building, jump off the building and pay £50 for it. Have fun any way you want. And that's all right. You're a good person. You're enjoying life. And if you tell people that this is foolish, then you're interfering with people's free will. You're somehow or another restricting them. You're not a good person. You're not open-minded, liberal. You think that you know what reality is. You believe in some God or something like that who's telling you that this is not very good. And people will criticize that these people are fanatics. They're restricting people's free will. They're telling them that they're wasting their time. They're blaspheming people, they think. And then we have Paradharma. Swadharmam Shreyan Swadharma Viguna Paradharma Swanustita. People are all born Shudras, Kalos, Sudras, Sampava. Therefore, they have no idea what their duty is. They can do anything as long as they make money. When I was in India, I was asking downtown Delhi, is there any public toilets? And they say, yes, that's... So you go to the public toilet, they're run by the Brahmins. Because India, they try to reverse everything. They thought all these the lower class people, they're being repressed. Therefore, let's repress the Brahmins for a while and bring up the lower class people. They should run the government and the Brahmins should run the toilet. And the Brahmins think, oh, this is very good. People throw a few pice, we're making some money, and they don't care. Because they're not really Brahmins. They were born in a Brahmin family. They think, oh, we're born in a Brahmin family, therefore we're Brahmins. But actually, Krishna says, guna karma, according to one's guna and one's karma. But since most people are in the mode of ignorance, their karma is, they don't know what their karma is. And there's no one to tell them what their karma is. And even if they knew what their karma is, there's no one to serve. Because no one's aiming at the higher platform of to the higher platform of consciousness. There are no Brahmins and Kshatriyas who are directing this society towards higher levels of consciousness. Therefore, people do anything. Paradharma. And even they become a priest, it says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, they become a religious leader. But there's not very much to differentiate them from the common people. They're doing the same things. Only they collect money from others to do it. In the name of religiosity. So Krishna says, it is bhayavaha. It is very dangerous if you don't know what you're supposed to be doing and you just do anything. Then you're certainly going to go to the lower species of life. Therefore, in this age, the only swadharma is not vana and ashram. The only dharma ultimately will be swadharma, will be to chant Hare Krishna. That's one thing everyone's supposed to do in this age, and everyone can do it, whoever they are, and they'll be doing the right thing. Everything else is very confusing. Practically speaking, all the activities nowadays are all connected with sinful activities, all the occupations. Even lipstick, cosmetics, they just passed the law in America. They can no longer use cow brains and the cow spine to make lipstick out of it. Not that they have any concern for the cow. Let them slaughter millions of cows, billions of cows, but they're afraid that because the ladies put the lipstick on their lips and some of it may get into their mouth and they may get mad cow disease. And they don't really care if anyone gets mad cow disease. It's just that they won't be able, if they do that, then they'll get a bad reputation. They won't be able to sell the meat. Or they'll have to, or it may cost, you know, the state some money to take care of these people without any brains. In any case, paradharma bhayavaha is dangerous. And the only way of getting out of the danger in this age is to chant Hare Krishna. And everything else is meant to help us perfect our chanting So we can actually realize we have to surrender to Krishna in this age and chant with full devotion and full sincerity. And then the other thing, abhasa. It appears to be religion. It's like the shadow of religion. It's like people are doing the ritual, but it has nothing, there's no substance to it. They're waving the stick before the deity, but they could have just as well, just like in some countries like Bangladesh, they can wave the incense stick before a tree, and it's the same thing. They're devoted to everything. It just so happens they have some statue there, so they're devoted to the statue. They have no idea what religion is actually meant for. It's just a ritual, abhasa, a shadow of actually, their consciousness is in a shadow. And upadharma, that's the nectar of devotion at the end. There is dharma, but has no connection with Krishna. Or there's no real understanding that Krishna is God. There's something in relation to Krishna, like Jarasandha laughing when he saw Krishna fleeing, when he attacked Krishna in Mathura. So it's some connection with Krishna, but it has nothing to do with real religiosity, upadharma. And chaladharma, cheating religion. Religion, which is pretentious religion, cheating religion, to get something other than higher consciousness. Go to the church, perform religion, and give me a house, give me a wife, give me a color TV. Om Jai Jagadish Hari. So, they're worshiping God, but there's nothing to do with higher consciousness. It's just to get some material benefit. And when the material benefit is gotten, then you throw God away. You don't need him anymore. You take Kali, you have Mother Kali, you have a festival for her for a week, and then after the end of the festival, you take her and throw her into the ocean. You don't need her anymore. You already got her benedictions. One time, you can hear on one lecture in Prabhupada's in Calcutta, and they're singing in the background, the hills are alive with the sound of music from Mary Martin's, I think it's Peter, King and I? Yes, the King. Sound of Music, isn't that? Sound of Music. And they're blasting it, you know, in India they have these huge speakers and they're blasting it. This is during Kali Pooj for 1 week. And he can hardly hear Prabhupada speaking because hills are alive with the sound of music. And they ask Prabhupada, which is better, our normal traditional religions or this Kali worship? And Prabhupada said Kali worship is better. Because by Kali worship, at least, it's coming from the Vedas, and by taking to this worship, hopefully sometime in the future, that people will realize that there's something higher and they'll actually make progress towards the goal of becoming a Vaishnav. Because there's some connection between what they're doing and the Vedic scriptures which can lead them to higher consciousness and Krishna consciousness. In any case, it's chaladharma to try to get some material benefit worshipping the Supreme Person. Ultimately, Krishna is asking us to surrender, sharanagati, whether it's anukulyasya sankalpe, pratikulyasya varjanam, rakshisya titi vishvaso, goptrive varnam tata, atma vishek sankalpe, shadvida sharanagati. That to accept what actually is beneficial towards progress, towards realizing Krishna. Our philosophy is very simple. We're all spiritual beings, and there's a supreme spiritual being. And we're supposed to be serving the supreme spiritual being who's supplying everyone with whatever we have and whatever he's given us, we should be utilizing that in his service. And there is a process, a science of learning how to do that. First of all, accepting things which are favorable, such as chanting Hare Krishna, worshipping the deities, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, serving the devotees and trying to make the atmosphere spiritual or living in a spiritual place. That these are very powerful activities which can invoke our dormant consciousness so we can realize what actually is reality. And then, when one gets a little glimpse of reality, pratikulyasikavarjanam, then giving up sinful activities, those things which are drawing our mind away from Krishna, will become more simple, more easy to do. And then we'll realize, rakshisyatiti vishva, so that Krishna is actually maintaining us, that everything we have, whatever it is, for better or worse, is being supplied to us by Krishna. And He'll give us what, if we become devotees, He'll give us everything we need to make further progress in devotional life. And He'll actually protect us. He'll protect especially our consciousness so we won't fall down to illusion. And Atma Vikshepa Sankalpe will always feel that we have the same interest that Krishna has. As Krishna wants to be blissful and love everyone, so we'll have that same interest, how to love Krishna and love everyone. And we'll Atma Vikshepa Sankalpe, then we'll always feel meek and humble. We'll see how wonderful Krishna is and how wonderful everyone else is. And therefore, we'll feel naturally humble when we realize how unlimitedly wonderful Krishna is. Shadvida Sharanagat. So there's the stages of surrender. It's natural. Krishna doesn't have to take a whip and beat us, or Krishna's representatives don't have to take a whip and beat us. If we follow the process, we'll naturally want to surrender. Our dormant desire to surrender to Krishna will be there. And if we don't take to that process, we'll be forced to surrender to some variety of maya, of illusion, and we'll call it religion. We'll give it so many different names, and we'll feel ourselves justified in so many different ways to do it. Even the most hardened criminal feels he's doing the right thing. And there's so many examples Prabhupada gives. The killer, when Narada met one killer, assassin, he asked him, why are you doing this? He said, for the love of my family. Because they love me, I must maintain them. So he said, don't you realize, Narada Muni told the assassin, don't you realize you're going to get so much sinful reactions for what you're doing? You're going to have to suffer? Well, for the love of my family, they love me and I love them. Certainly I must do whatever is necessary to maintain them. So ask your family, Narada Muni told him. Ask the members of your family that, all right, you're serving them so nicely, so at least they should take some proportion of your sinful activities. Yes, I'll go to my wife. She'll be very happy to take a portion of my sinful reactions. So he went to his wife and said, my dear wife, I'm committing so many sinful activities for your sake. Please, I don't mind maintaining you, but please take at least a proportion of the sinful reactions I must suffer in the future. She said, get lost. I don't mind your money, but you keep the sinful reactions. Similarly, he went to his children, asked for the same reciprocation. They say the same thing. Dad, we love you. We love your money. We love everything that you're giving us. We don't like your sinful reactions. And then he went to his dog. He thought, my dog loves me at least. And told the same thing to his dog. And then when his dog bit him, he said, that's the end. I quit. Therefore, everyone's first responsibility is to find out what their duty is to Krishna and perform that. And then they can make progress. And by doing that, they can become beneficial to them, not only to themselves, but they'll become beneficial to others. If they don't know what they're supposed to be doing, they want what's good for them, then they won't know what's good for anyone else either. Therefore, Prabhupada said, they're trying to do so many good activities, Red Cross, that cross, whatever cross. That's good in the estimation of worldly people, but even better than that is to realize the fact that we're not the body, that we're spiritual beings, to do those activities that bring us to spiritual realization. But even better than that, the highest of all, the most important thing is, first of all, to save ourselves. If we can't save ourselves, we won't be able to do good for others either. Anyways, today is Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura's disappearance day. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura, in a very dynamic way, preached this philosophy of Krishna consciousness and attracted, practically speaking, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement had, for the most part, disappeared or had been perverted by irreligious activities known as the Sahajiyas, of which Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura has mentioned many of them in his writings. The Gauranga Nagaris, the Saki Bekis, the Prakriti Sahajiyas, the Saki Bekis, so many different varieties of vowels, owls, this, that. So he actually preached Krishna consciousness in such a dynamic way, with such purity, that people were actually awakened. Many people, and they became Krishna conscious, and he created a movement which was later on more fully manifested by his son, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, and by his son in disciple succession, Srila Prabhupada, who expanded Krishna consciousness all over the world with full purity, avoiding these irreligious activities, defining them very clearly so we can avoid them, and telling us, helping us become convinced that in this age we have to surrender to Krishna through the pure chanting of the holy name. Chanting of the holy name without any offense. And that is the only method of salvation in this age that is practical for the vast number of people, including ourselves. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura has elaborately explained this, and Srila Prabhupada has given us the same philosophy in a way which perhaps is clearer to us under our circumstances, and probably clearer for the next 10,000 years for the majority of people. In any case, we honor Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura. He said he reasons ill who thinks that Vaishnavas die, for thou art living still and sound, that Vaishnavas die to live, and living spread the holy name around. Anyone who reads the life of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura, his preaching spirit, his instructions, his literature, the songs that he wrote, will certainly become inspired, and following Prabhupada's direction will become enlivened and enlightened to try to spread Krishna consciousness to the best of our capacity, according to whatever circumstances we're under. Grihe Thakura, Vani Thakura. It doesn't matter. We may be grihastas or vanaprastas or sannyasis. Somehow or another, we can chant Hare Krishna and help others become Krishna conscious. So, thank you. Any comments? Questions?